Everybody awake? Not so much today. I will do my best, Greg Carhoff. Well, I'll do my best. Jordan's out, so we'll see. We'll see. So the last couple of months, we've been going through this political season, and several times from the pulpit, I've said, look, we can't come to church and pretend like this isn't going on, right? So there's something that God speaks into the political season, something that he speaks into politics. And I feel like today, that same creed kind of holds true when all of us, almost all of us, were vested in the game yesterday, and everyone, we were in Tennessee yesterday, and the entire drive here was just, we passed through one sports venue, past another sports venue. I mean, it was just, it's such a part of our landscape right now. And so I thought, you know, there's got to be a message in this. I'm glad Kurt segued it so well. So he broke the ice, right? So we'll see. We'll see how we get through this. But I appreciate your words, Kurt. And, you know, there's something about sports that draws us to them. I want to read you, there's this little book I ran across in my research years ago. It's called The Joy of Sports. It's written by a Catholic philosopher named Michael Novak back in the 70s. And he was wrestling with a lot of the things that I've been wrestling with the last 4 or 5 years. And that is, I love God with all my heart, and I have this passionate faith, but man, I just love sports so much. And I know not everybody here does, but a lot of you do. And what Michael Novak did is he just wrestled through. If you like to wrestle with some of that stuff, I would recommend, this is probably the best book that there is. It's been republished several times. I've got the old copy of it. But there's this great anecdote in the book where he's talking about, he's a Dodgers fan, and he's just wrestling. How am I a 40-year-old man and still care about the Dodgers? And it's a great thought that I think any sports fan can really resonate with. Why do I care so much? And he has this great quote. I want to start with this quote because there's a few of you in here that are going, oh crap, this is a sports sermon. Whoop-de-doo. So let me read you this quote that I think will help kind of set the tone for us this morning a little bit. He talks about a guy named James Wechsler who was at his New Year's Eve party back in 1974. So like I said, the book's a little bit older. But he said this at this party. He said, the country seems divided between those caught up in the frenzy of sports and those who could not care less. In many places, the latter must feel like aliens. And I have to think that if you're not a big sports fan, that there are times when you must just feel like you are completely an alien in a foreign country, in a foreign land, or on another planet. What in the world would 110,000 people spend all that money to go get all caught up in this frenzy? And those of us who get it understand. And those who don't must just sit there. And I can see some of your faces out there probably go, Margaret Dronsfield, I think you're one, aren't you? You're just going, what is the big deal? Right? These big fat guys take their shirts off and paint their chests. And it's like, what is this about? So what I want to do for a few minutes this morning is try to wrestle with, and we're not going to stick exclusively in the world of sports, but I want us to think, because it is so powerful, and it's probably as powerful at this moment than at any other time, at least in our local community here, what is it that draws us in? Like why? That game was 4 hours long yesterday, or more, and if you went to the game, which some of you did, jerks, you went to the game. You got a good drive all the way there, all the time after. Greg and his family drove all the way to Louisville yesterday. Why do you do this? You stupid people. Like, why? I'm part of it, right? Why do we do this to ourselves? What is it that we're after? And Novak in his book kind of expounds on a lot of this, and I know you've kind of heard me share a little bit about this, but I think that we're going to somehow back into 1 Corinthians and back into Advent today. All right, that's our task. We'll see if we, Val, you think we can do this? You're the coach. Can we go through from the Ohio State-Michigan game to the World Series to 1 Corinthians to the first lighting of the Advent candle this year? That's what we're going to kind of seek. Because I really do think, with all kidding aside, that there is something really serious at stake in sports. And I think it's what draws people in. And it is the concept of transcendence. Now that's a big fancy word. So now we're talking about the Ohio State Michigan game and transcendence. So here we go. Chris Cole, are you with me? We're going to be able to do this. There's something, Kirk, he did have the perfect segue because he's right. Like we were sitting down, and I hope you can all envy me this. I'm watching it with my father-in-law. Speaking of people who don't understand the world of sports, I can speak direct. My dad does not care about sports. Like Mary Beth's dad probably even a little more. My dad just doesn't. He doesn't care. And I remember when I was a kid, because my grandpa was such a big Browns fan, we always watched the Browns games. And I remember my dad would try. I mean, he just didn't care. He didn't get it, you know. And we're throwing stuff at the TV, and he just looks at us like, oh, you guys are morons. What's the big deal? But I think Kurt kind of got to a little bit of what it is. It's that moment, and that's why yesterday's game was so great, because it's the one thing in life that you just, it's not sure what's going to happen. And yesterday was like this four-hour experience of uncertainty. Greg was at the Kentucky-Louisville game. It was pretty much like that there too, right? Like for 4 hours, you don't know what's going to happen. And there is a little bit of an emptiness a little bit later. You're like, okay, we won. Let's go back to work. Go back to life. But there's something about being caught up in that moment. And that's what we're after. That's why the Ohio State-Michigan game cost $400 to go to. And the Ohio State-Youngstown State game, they give away tickets. Because there's something inequitable about them. And it's that experience of transcendence that we're after. To kind of go above ourselves. And you know why that is? And I've said this many times. It's because life, all in all, is pretty boring. Most of us are going to get up and go to work tomorrow. And maybe you love your job or you hate your job, but it's just kind of boring. I mean, yeah, there'll be, we have our unique kind of vocations and there are things that are exciting within that world. But we've talked about it before, the routine of just, you get up and you go to work on Monday and you eat dinner and you eat lunch and you go to bed and you watch one show and then you do the whole thing again and it's Groundhog Day, right? Over and over again. And we need to escape that once in a while, and we escape it a lot of different ways. We go to movies. If sports isn't your thing, it might be movies. Some people, just can watch movie after movie after movie, and it's an escape. And Clementine is old enough now that she's like the most emotionally charged person during a movie I've ever seen. Like, she'll be sitting beside me, and I'm just like, what is that shaking? She's like weeping over something. I'm like, what? I didn't really even see that was that much. But there's something about the emotions of movies, and it could be the thrill of excitement or just the devastation or whatever it is. But whatever it is, it's an escape. I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people are calling this day and age the day and age of kind of the golden age of television. Because now it's not even like a two-hour movie. Now it's this eight-hour, how many hours of Gilmore Girls is there, Mary Beth, that everybody's talking about? Okay, 6 hours of Gilmore Girls. Everybody's been at home over the Thanksgiving holiday watching, and you get sucked in, not for 2 hours of a movie or 2.5 hours, but for 6 hours or 8 hours or 12 hours. And then they leave you with a big cliffhanger so John Hutchison and I could talk about what's going to happen to The Walking Dead in October, right? And you just wait. And so it draws you in, and it's part of that transcendence, that longing to just get above and beyond the here and now. It happens in sports. It happens in movies. It happens at the holidays. So I want you to think for a second about what are the moments where time just seems to just go away. Like you're just, I could stay in this moment for forever. I was looking at Dylan over there by Tricia before I got up, and he was playing with his little cars, and I was like, isn't that what we want? Like, we want to just play with our cars, like forever. Like, just be lost in that moment. And it's what we love about watching kids play, right? It's why teenager life is so horrible, because you look at them and you're like, yep, it's done. You're done now. You can't just go play anymore. It's over. And I think that's what draws us to sports, because at the heart of sports is play, right? So let me call you guys on the spot if somebody wants to just speak up. But what was that feeling like yesterday, Kurt? What was it like when, since it was the very end of the game, the very moment, how do you even put that into words, what that was like? Exuberant? Pat and Randy, you guys are there. What was it like? But when it happens around that many people, that you're all kind of, like if you were a Michigan fan, just what the agony of defeat versus the thrill of victory was kind of on display there in a moment. Pat, what was it like? There aren't very many experiences in life that are as transcendent as a sports venue. It seems to just kind of take you out of the moment. Cameron isn't here, so we can talk about this. Like, the statute of limitations on the Indians World Series collapse is kind of past. For me, for him, it's still not. But when we were there in Game 7, in the 8th inning, when Rajay Davis hit a home run, those of you who don't know anything about it, don't care, but just let me share with you. When they tied it up in the 8th inning, it was the most surreal moment I've ever experienced in a sporting event. It just wasn't anything like it. And it was all these things you guys are talking about. It was just... And in Cleveland, it was different because there was this collective longing, you know, for years and decades. When we got up there, you guys went up Game 6, the whole city was just ready to just explode. We got to the train station, everybody was singing, and there were just people everywhere. And I just think that's about transcendence. And I think everybody experiences it, not necessarily in sports, but in whatever our desires is. Think about, maybe it was for you over the holidays. You know, you were back with mom and dad, or you're back with your brother and sister, or you're back with your kids, or whatever it was. And we laugh about all the goofy stuff. You know, Greg, we were talking about how your family drives you crazy after a few hours and you need to get away. But there is moments among that where it just works, right? Maybe it's at the prayer right before you eat, or maybe it was mom's great cooking that you hadn't had. Whatever it was, there's just that moment, man, it just all seems right. And the reason we long for those moments so often is because they don't happen very often. Like, if we experienced that feeling that we all felt, many of us felt yesterday afternoon, if we felt that all the time, it wouldn't be a big deal. But we chase it. And we chase it in a lot of different ways. Some people chase it through drugs and alcohol and sex. I mean, there's a lot of ways to kind of get to this transcendent feeling of longing for something else. But at the heart of all of this, and this is where I think the scriptural foundation, this will get us into 1 Corinthians. At the base of all of this is this faith or belief that there's something else. Like, we look around and we love this world and we love the things about it, but there's just something inside of really everyone that says, but this isn't it. And so we take a drug, or we celebrate a victory, or whatever it is, and it lasts for a little while, but there's always this kind of deep down longing that, but there's something else, there's something missing. Which brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right where you thought we'd go. Because I think at the end of the Corinthian letter, I think Paul is addressing this a little bit. There's a lot of debate about how much of a sports guy Paul was. He used sports metaphors a lot. Maybe he was speaking directly into the sports setting. I tend not to think he was that, it's that obvious he was a fan, other than he just knew that was important to the culture. He just knew that was a big deal. And I think he gets into this whole idea of, because you remember, this is the early church, right? They're just starting off. Just getting used to each other, just getting used to what faith means. And he's dealing, I think, at the end of the letter with some of the most significant issues, and that is their expectations. And I kind of wonder if maybe when they got together weekly or daily, however often they were getting together, they weren't expecting it to be, I wonder if they were expecting it to be like yesterday. Like every Sunday was a... We just won, we're going to Disney World. You know, that kind of just grand moment. And so then the realities start to set in. And some of the stuff we talked about last week, you've got these lawsuits that are coming up, that people just don't get along. Their services are kind of chaotic. It was just kind of not working. And at the end of the letter, in chapter 15, I think Paul comes in and he says, look, I want to remind you what this is all about. And I think in these moments where we celebrate and we get distracted by all the things that we get distracted by in life, I think sometimes we just need these reminders of, this is what that transcendent longing inside of you is after. And so let's go to chapter 15, verse 50, the last part of the chapter. He talks, this whole chapter is about resurrection, about life after death. So then you really, is that what sports is about? It's about longing for life after death? Well, it kind of is, right? It kind of is this ethereal feeling that just kind of goes on. In verse 50, I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So he's going to start kind of building up these contrasts between what inherits the kingdom and what doesn't inherit the kingdom. And I think underneath a lot of that, you hear Paul kind of rebuking the Corinthians a little bit and saying, you guys are settling for something too little. You're settling for something too easy. Don't settle for sports. Don't settle for music or movies. That stuff is perishable. We need the imperishable stuff. And so listen, I tell you a message. We're all going to fall asleep, but we will be changed. All in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's like an original locker room speech, right? Paul gets up at halftime and he just lays it into the Corinthians. And I love the way that that kind of passage ends. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of the end of the letter. I mean, you got the tack on of, he talks about the collection and he gets into some personal greetings. But this is the end of the letter. And it's like his great halftime speech of reminding them what this is all about. And I think it's a reminder that we all need. That our faith is victory. And sports has a place, and all these other things have a place, but may we always be reminded through the ups and downs of all the other places that our lives take us, that victory is ultimately found in the Lord. So of course, the question that we enter into, and the reason we have our candle lit this morning, is because the thrill of victory will pretty quickly dissipate. Pretty quickly, you move from one season to the next, you move from one movie title to the next, or the one television show to the next, or something else in life comes along, and you end up moving from one just transcendent moment to one just agonizing moment at a funeral or in a doctor's office or whatever it else, and the reality comes face to face with you. We use sports, we use movies, we use these kinds of things as an escape from life. We want to get away from life. Why do we want to get away from it? Well, because there's a lot of crummy things that happen. And we would just rather not think and talk about them. Paul is reminding us through the letters to the Corinthians, to the letter of the Corinthians, to stay firm, stay diligent, and have hope that things will ultimately work out. And so it's easy in those moments of exuberance and transcendence to celebrate, but we know what comes up must come back down. And so for a lot of people, one of the most difficult times of life is the month of January, right? You have those excitement of the holidays, and we amp up in November, and it's all celebration, and then January gets here, and it's like, all right. This is a really boring month. What happens in January? Let's celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday so at least we have something to celebrate in January, right? It's all about the first of the day, and then it's because you can't maintain that level because we're just longing for something else. Which brings us to the Psalms, and this is where we segue into the Psalms because there are so many Psalms that recognize this. You can see how sports is kind of a distraction, right? You get caught up in, I mean, my goodness, we just had a pretty fun election cycle, right? So it's kind of nice to focus on sports for a while, or football, or basketball, or something else, to just lighten up, to just relax, to just take it easy. But those deeper questions are still there. Those deeper longings are still there. And so when the psalmist cries out in Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. How many times have we asked those questions of how long waiting for things to be made right? And I can't ask that question specifically for every single one of us, but we've all asked our own kind of manifestation of it. How long do I have to put up with this? How long do I have to continue to watch this? And you can just fill in the blanks. Over the next couple of weeks, it is the first Sunday of Advent, which incredibly means there's only 4 weeks until Christmas Day, since it's a Sunday this year. And in these 4 weeks of waiting and anticipating and longing, let us be reminded of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because wins and victories, they'll dissipate. I mean, we all know that it's not that big of a deal, even though it doesn't always appear that people are level-headed about it. I think everybody in this room realizes it's fun and exciting. Like Pat said, it brings everybody together, but at the end of the day, it's not the end of the world. Most of the things we deal with in our lives, they're more of the end of the world. People getting sick, people dying, starvation, problems in our world, difficulties, addictions. I mean, on and on and on the struggles go, and those are the things that the psalmist cries out and just longs for. How long? How long? And every time you feel like you finally get to a point where you don't have to ask that anymore, something else happens, and it devastates you even more, and you think, how much longer do I have to put up with this, or this, or this? Of course, there is hope at the end of the psalm. Not always, but at the end of this psalm, specifically, the psalmist ends with a word of trust. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Seems like a fitting way to end a holiday weekend, right? No matter what the difficulties, and sometimes you are reminded of the challenges that people in your family face. Trisha Farrell mentioned several this morning. Just being around your family, just be reminded of, you know, those are extreme cases, but just stuff that folks are dealing with, and we get caught up in our own worlds, and let us be mindful of all of them in the coming weeks. How much longer do we have to bear this? How much longer do we have to uphold under this? But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. He certainly has been good to all of us. Doesn't take away the longing that we have for when things will be made right. So this morning as we close, we're going to sing a song about the longing inside of us that someday things are going to work out for us. Someday. That's Paul's words of encouragement in Corinthians. Hang on.